This episode has been brought to you by Soul Tribe Publishing House.
You are now tuned in into the Soul Sister Sunday podcast. My name is Kim.
My name is Jay, and we're your co-hosts for today's episode and every episode from Soul Sister Sunday.
We're coming to you with deep conversations, questions, and pondering the different wonders of life.
We're also coming to you with friendship, because Kim and I are great friends.
Stay tuned and enjoy.
And don't forget to subscribe, follow us on Instagram, leave us reviews. We appreciate all the love and support, and stay tuned for our episode.
We're going to have fun. Similar to our pilot episode, where we were having fun, asking questions, getting to let our listeners get to know us, we'll do something similar. Of course, this is not a pilot episode. If you are a frequent listener, you should know us pretty well by now. But we're going to ask each other some fun questions.
What is the first question you have for us?
It's a really weird question. And this is something that's been on my mind for a while, not just with you, but with the whole wide world. Is it pronounced GIF or GIF? Which one do you say?
That is so funny. I use GIF. That has been a point of contention at work. That has been a point of contention in friendships. So I don't really care, but I'll use GIF. What about you?
I used to say GIF, like the peanut butter, until recently when my daughter corrected me and said that saying GIF is cringe. And if it's a G, it makes a G sound. So it is GIF. I try to be mindful when speaking, so now I say GIF.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. There's a lot of things that our younger people would think it's cringy that we thought was pretty cool. So I'm going to continue saying GIF, but thanks for that note. All right, next question. What fictional world or universe would you want to live in and why?
This is going to sound really weird, but I think I would want to live where the Proud family lives, because Sugar Mama reminds me of people in my family and I'll have fun with her. And Penny Proud seems cool.
Ah, that's a cute one. That's a nice response. I would live in Alice in Wonderland universe. I love Alice in Wonderland universe. I would want to meet the Hatter. I would want to have some tea, eat a slice of bread that makes me big, eat something else to make me small. I think that would be a nice experience. Meet the cat.
That's the part that would scare me. That cat with the big smile. I like the cat in the movie, but I don't think I can handle him in person. I would be terrified.
Girl, I'd be okay. I would love to meet the Queen of Hearts in person. All of it sounds so interesting to me, just from the aesthetic perspective. Awesome. From the experience I would gain from this, awesome too. I don't really care to run into Alice. If I say hello to her, great, awesome. But I'm not really there for Alice. I'm there for Wonderland. Let me experience Wonderland.
Whenever I watch Alice in Wonderland, the cartoon version or the real version with Johnny Depp, it reminds me of a bad acid trip. I would be scared.
Well, you know, the movie was created when they were doing acid, or the idea came about when they were doing acid. So it's not too far. I'm not going to take acid, but I just want to experience it for sure.
It makes sense now. It makes a lot of sense. What's something ridiculous that should be illegal, but it isn't?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't really know, actually. I don't know if people do a lot of ridiculous things that should be illegal. I don't know. I'll pass it on to you. Maybe come back to me.
This may be my petty side showing, but I absolutely hate when women wear sandals without getting a pedicure. That right there should be illegal. Should no woman step outside?
Oh, then I'll go to jail, because I do that all the time and I don't care.
No. You have to get your pedicure, or at least paint your toes, something. It just makes me itch when I see a woman wearing sandals looking great and then her feet look like she's been walking in dust. Honey, what happened? That should be illegal.
Now, is it the same standard for men? Because there's some out here.
That's a good question. Guess so. If we're going to be fair about it, I guess so. But me personally, I hate to see a man wearing sandals. So maybe that should be illegal. Men cannot wear sandals. Women can, but their feet must be done. I know it's not.
I was going to say my patriarchy itch is coming through. It's itching here, because that is crazy.
Well, that's just how my mind works. It's silly. It is ridiculous, and in Kim's world, that may be illegal.
Now, I am all on board with keeping your feet pretty. Pretty feet are hygienic feet. My feet stay trimmed. My feet stay without calluses and get rubbed down. I'm okay with that. But I don't really care about painting my toenails. And I truly don't care about following the trend of painting your toenails white or whatever color. That is so beyond what I care about. But I do care about having hygienic feet. My feet are cute. And if I wear sandals, my feet look cute. They don't look like I have been stepping on rocks my entire life. Like, I don't do that. Hygiene is beautiful to me. But as far as painting your toenails, I don't really care for that. If you catch me with painted toenails, that's good. Great for you. But I'm not that type of person. So I think I will go to jail in Kim's world. Girl, you're gonna have to bond me out.
I'll bond you out and take you straight to the nail lady.
Oh, no. Oh, no. That's another thing. I don't do nail ladies. No, thank you. No, thank you. I'll do my feet at home. Thank you. I'll be on house arrest. Now, Kim, what is the most adventurous thing you've ever done or would like to do?
The most adventurous? If I tell this story, I may be telling on myself. And if somebody in my family were to hear this story, they would be shocked. So let me think of another one.
Let's tell that story. Because we need to hear it.
Well, it's not exactly the most adventurous, but I have traveled to different states by myself and met up with people who were a waste of time. They were fun, but the whole time, of course, people thought I was traveling with friends and I was doing one thing, but really I was out exploring the state, hiking and all these things. So it's medium adventurous.
Okay, that's not bad. I would say sometimes you have to keep people at arm's length. There's something wrong with living a private life. I don't agree with the lying. Now, if you were lying, adventure is beautiful.
Well, we all were young and having fun, so every once in a while I may have slipped out, but you live and you learn. Now, the biggest adventure I would love to go on, I would love to explore Africa, honestly. Go to all parts, not just go to Nigeria and Liberia where there's big cities and a lot to do. I want to go to the parts that you don't see glamorized on TV or in the Nollywood movies, the parts that have people living regular lives or have people maybe going through a struggle, just to see what it's like on both sides of the world.
That sounds like a good time. I agree. You should go do that.
Now, what would you do? Or what has been your greatest adventure?
My greatest adventure? It's a hard one. I think I've lived a very adventurous life. But I think one of the ones that I remember most recently is when I was deciding where to move to from my college town. I went to different places and got to hang out by myself in these areas and then narrowed it down to where I live currently. But just that idea of picking and allowing the universe to guide me was so adventurous to me. I felt the energy of adventure and I had fun. I went to Nashville and I had barbecue. I went to a restaurant that does co-eating. So people all sit around one table and share the food. And it was so beautiful to be around people that I didn't know, but I talked to them and we shared a meal. And there was these two Black women that were there together. And they were asking me, was I traveling alone? And why was I there? And it was just a beautiful conversation. And by the end of it, they're like, we're so proud of you for doing this all by yourself. And that's when it hit me that I didn't realize what I was really doing. And it felt so empowering to me. So definitely a very adventurous time. I met someone on the plane. They were giving out free drinks. So we had a free drink together and it was very cute. It was very cute to me. So I definitely think that was probably one of my more adventurous times. And what would I like to do? Ooh, I would like to explore the islands, the Caribbean islands, all of them. But I definitely would love to explore Cuba the most and find a missing part of myself there too. So I look forward to doing that in my life. That's definitely my challenge in life.
That sounds beautiful. First off, I just want to say you going on that adventure by yourself, meeting new people and mingling and having this dinner with people you don't know, that speaks volume. That shows that we can get out in this world and make connections regardless of where we're at. And it also shows your bravery to sit and have dinner with people you don't know, talking to someone on a plane, kikiing it up. Very brave of you. And secondly, When you go to Cuba, take me with you.
Oh, girl, we're going to find ourselves some Cuban people. Feed us food.
I would love it. Now, here's my question for you. What's the strangest thing in your fridge?
Oh, hey, I don't have anything strange in my fridge. I'm normal. I would have to say that one of the strangest things in my fridge, I don't know if it's strange to me. I think I have a lot of ethnic food. That's it. I don't know. And I just cleaned my fridge yesterday. So maybe my jalapenos are strange to other people that don't eat jalapenos.
Here you go with this cleaning fridge thing. So listeners, Jay and I have had conversations about this before in the past, but she cleans her fridge on the regular, which makes sense why she can't find anything strange in there. I should have thought about this before I asked the question. However, me on the other hand, I clean my fridge when it feels right. So it's a big difference.
When the universe says, child, it's time.
When I open the fridge and the shit start falling out, that's when I clean it.
That is so funny. No, listeners, I subscribe to the idea that if you're bringing in fresh stuff, you clean out your fridge. That's it. You get rid of what you don't use. You get rid of what you haven't eaten. You get rid of those things that you say, I'll save that for later. No, you won't. Throw that shit in the garbage.
Total difference. Total difference. Well, now that I put my business out there and y'all know my fridge may not be the cleanest, the strangest thing in my fridge may be the mozzarella cheese I didn't completely use from some time ago. And I get some vegetables in there that may have to be thrown out. That's a little strange. And I do use just egg. Since I am trying to stay on this path of plant-based diet, I don't eat eggs anymore. But my Just Egg is still good. It's not expired. But some people may look at that and say, what the hell is this? So I gave you three strange things.
Okay. Some are hazardous and some are normal organic things. Okay. Good to know.
Well, let's focus on the good. I got Just Egg in there to make plenty meals. So that's good.
That's funny. All right. So next question. What is the weirdest or funniest dream you've ever had?
That's so hard to say. I have weird dreams often. Okay. I'll tell you the most recent weird dream I had. And I think about this dream often. It's no secret that I am in love with Jack Harlow. I am obsessed with that young man. It's something about him, the way he carries himself, his height, his blue eyes. I would devour that man. But anywho, I had a dream about him recently where he kidnapped me and hid me in this cave dungeon looking place. It was the basement of a big mall in Chicago. And he had this whole evil villain aura going on and I couldn't escape. It wasn't a cute fun dream. It was actually really scary. And in my dream, I was thinking, what the fuck is wrong with this man? And then I woke up really confused. I still love him, but in my dream, I don't know who that person was.
Wow, you got kidnapped.
And not in a fun way, though. If Jack Harlow is going to kidnap me, it better not be like that dream.
You better add some sexy in there. That's funny. Now, I agree with you in terms of having weird dreams. I do have a lot of weird dreams. I don't know if I have any fun dreams. Maybe I do, but one of the weirdest dreams that I think was also very funny is, I've told Kim the story before. It's when I had this dream of a moose, a pink moose inside my home. And it was a crazy experience for me because my home is a one-story building. Like, it's only my tiny home. And the moose was so big in my living room that I remember in my dream asking it, like, how did you get in here? And better yet, how are you going out? Like, how are you gonna get out? And listeners, I don't know if you guys remember, but we did have an episode last season where we talked about sleeping time and dreams. Now, I dream in black and white, but in that dream, everything else was black and white except for that moose. And that moose was hot pink in my living room looking at me. While I was looking at it, I think of that dream often.
The weird thing is, I think of that dream often too. When you first told me about that dream, I thought that shit was hilarious. Only Jay will have a pink moose running through her house. And I remember her being so serious while telling me the story. And I'm about to bust out in tears from laughter because why?
I was, and to this day I think about it, like, what does that even mean? Why would there be a pink ass moose? And one of my other friends came to my home and I painted that big pink moose because I think of it. I guess it's on its annual visit. So here we are. Hello, pink moose.
That is hilarious. Are you ready for my question?
Yes. What is your question?
What's your biggest cooking fail?
Oh, okay. Cooking fail. All right. Not baking, but cooking. All right. So when I was working in cooking professionally, I was making Alfredo sauce. Now, making Alfredo sauce from scratch is a very easy task. But when you multiply that by maybe 100 servings, it could get a little chaotic. So I was making it for about 150 people that I was going to be serving that to for dinner. And I accidentally or intentionally or whatever made the cream too hot. And when I started putting in cheese, it started burning my cheese. And instead of saying, let's kill this, I continued putting cheese on it because I'm like, well, maybe the cheese will just help the other cheese flavor itself better. And by the end of it, it was a hot, cheesy mess that was not good. So, yeah.
Oh, no. So your first thought was to cover it up with more cheese?
Yeah. Yeah. That was my first thought. I also was very young in the cooking experience, so I didn't have as much knowledge that I do now. And I think of that time too often whenever I'm cooking Alfredo, because I'm like, wow, it's a great story to have. Terrible experience to experience whenever you are in that space. But yeah.
That is too funny. Well, I'm glad that you made that mistake and you learned from it. What would be my biggest cooking fail? I remember what it is. Every Christmas, I try to make a small dinner. Nothing too big and exciting. It could be soup. It can be we make our own pizzas, whatever. This was maybe 3-4 years ago. I decided for Christmas to make a pot of broccoli cheddar soup, but I was going a completely vegan route. So I used vegan cheese, I used veggie broth, and I used this plant-based heavy cream. I shouldn't have done that. That soup was so motherfucking sweet. It was horrible. The broccolis were big. The cheese didn't taste too bad. But something about the cream gave it a sweet taste that I did not like. And in my head, I'm thinking, this is not how broccoli and cheese soup taste. At least I don't remember it tasting this way. Maybe it's been a while. I kept eating it, trying to trick my mind into thinking it was good. It was not.
Gaslighting yourself. Gaslighting.
Well, now I know better. I have gotten better now at making broccoli and cheddar soup. I have found ways to tweak the recipe so it's not sweet tasting with plant-based dairy or plant-based cream. But mistakes are learning curves, and I'm glad I learned that.
That's good. A good cheddar broccoli soup is so good, especially in the wintertime, especially in a bread bowl. Oh, you want to see me 600 pounds? Feed me that.
Well, see, that's the feel I was going for. December, cold. I like soup. It's very filling. And then I had that shit. Threw me off.
Oh my goodness. Would have ruined my whole Christmas. You know what? Let's skip Christmas. Go to New Year's because I'm over this. Okay, I have another question for you. Now, if we had to wear a vegetable as a shoe, what vegetable would you wear on your feet?
This question. Okay.
Now, before we even get started, you can't add more things. You can't add plastic. You can't add leather. It's all made from that vegetable. So think about it.
Okay. Knowing I cannot protect it or make it more comfortable, I would have to go with a really big bell pepper. Bell peppers, once you cut the top off, they are hollow on the inside. Dig out the seeds. Dig out the stem looking piece. I'm not sure what that's called. But dig all that out and stick your foot right in.
Okay. Is that all?
Every other vegetable I think of is mushy. I was thinking eggplant, but eggplants are soft once you cut into them. So that might not work.
Maybe as house shoes they would work, but not outside shoes.
Okay, maybe. But even with that, Wouldn't it be cold because it's mushy?
Oh, maybe. Maybe you have to have insulated floors if you fancy.
I'm not that level of fancy yet.
Okay, I pick a pumpkin. I like the idea of a pumpkin. And if pumpkins can be made into carriages, they can definitely be made into shoes. So pumpkin is my choice.
Would the pumpkin be too heavy? Well, no, because you get the pumpkin as your size, right?
Right, and you get to carve it as much as you want from the inside after you take out the seams. And pumpkins are easily carvable because we carve them during Halloween. So I would have a very fancy pumpkin shoe, or maybe two shoes, because I need two.
Okay, that'd be cute. And then the orange, and some pumpkins are white. So you'll have a variation of color. That might work. So here's the question that's a little bit deeper, just a little bit. And to me personally, I think this says a lot about a person, depending on their answer to this one. Did you have an imaginary friend as a kid?
Yes, but not in the typical sense of imaginary friends. My imaginary friends were my stuffed animals. They were not a person. They were already embodied in something else that I carried. So I've always had an imaginary friend. To this day, I still have the stuffed animal that I had when I was in high school. So he's still my friend. What about you?
I did not. I remember first hearing about imaginary friends on Arthur because DW had one. I think her friend was named Nadine. I think that's it. But anywho, that was the first time I ever heard of such a thing. And I was maybe 8 years old when I heard about that. I tried to force myself to have an imaginary friend because it was kind of cool seeing it on Arthur, but my brain just couldn't think of this friend for me. So I did not.
So what do you think it means when somebody says they've had an imaginary friend or they haven't? What does that mean?
It can mean a few things to me. Again, don't say I'm right. Don't say Kim said this or it must be true. I'm just speaking off the top of my head. Things I've noticed. Kids who had imaginary friends were either not receiving enough attention from their parents or guardians, were neglected, or had some other underlying mental illness that may come out a little bit more when they get older.
All right, listeners. So here is where Kim drags half of us. My edges are missing. Gone.
No, it's not a bad thing. Nobody.
If y'all have seen my edges, send them to our headquarters, please.
No, and I promise, I don't mean that in a way to down talk anyone or to say it in a malicious way, because we all are fucked up in some type of way. We all got anxiety, depression, trauma of some sort. We all been through things. So I'm not judging, but that's what I've noticed. People who had imaginary friends as kids had a rather rough childhood, or they felt like they were being ignored a lot. And that's not right. And your friend kept you company. That's okay too. Look at us now. A lot of people now still need company and still need companionship. And that's normal. So it's not bad.
I don't know. I hear that. I think psychology has a lot to do in that sphere as well. But I also think that there's nothing wrong with having imaginary anything. The key word is imaginary. Now, if you are going out of your way to have these experiences that are not innocent, then there's something wrong. But for me, I think about my imaginary friends, like I said, embodied in my stuffed animals, because it's an object. You can personalize it. And I see other children have their stuffed animals, have their blankets, have their dolls. I think it's a comfort level. I think when you are living life is very difficult and some things are very triggering. So you go home and squeeze on your stuffed animal. I also think about it in terms of my child. My child has imaginary stuffed animals as well. And we have a whole life for them. They have their own personalities. They have their own this, that. And my daughter's very well taken care of. So maybe to some degree that applies. But then there's a sector of the population where they simply just have imaginary life as kids. And that's okay. It's imagination. Imagination is fun.
No, exactly. And that's why I said that this is just me talking from things I've seen other people do and go through. My word is not fact. I'm literally just going off half-ass observation. So don't take my word like it's Bible.
Oh, we're going to take it as Bible. Now, listeners, did you guys have an imaginary friend? Now I'm curious. Now we might have to have a whole episode to dissect this.
Stay tuned. It could happen.
Right, exactly. All right, so let's go ahead and change topic. And let's continue on to figuring out what topping we are. Now, Kim, if you could be a pizza topping, what pizza topping would you be and why?
First off, I will say I would definitely be some type of vegetable because of my diet. I'm going back to that green bell pepper. I love bell peppers. I eat them like they're apples. So I would have to be that on a pizza topping.
That's a good pizza topping. I love a good bell pepper on pizza when it's vegetable pizza or when it has that vegetable side. Now, if I could be a pizza topping, I think I would be mushrooms because they are fancy. You have to pay extra for them. And you either are a mushroom lover or you're not. So there is no in between.
Hey, I can see you being mushroom because mushrooms are versatile. You can use a mushroom as a meat replacement, making veggie burgers or certain meals. You can roast mushrooms. You can use them on a psychedelic level if you're into that. Mushrooms can be used for anything and everything. And seeing that you are a multifaceted person who can pretty much do many things, it makes sense.
Oh, girl, we're about to be a mushroom and a whole sliced pepper.
I like it. I have another question. This one is somewhat deep as well. What is one thing you will never, ever do again?
Oh, that's a hard one. Huh, that is a deep one. I would never, ever allow people to play with my time and my effort. And I mean that in all facets of my experience. Yeah.
That's a good answer. That's a really good answer. I think that's something that everyone should think about. Now, something I'll never do again. That's so hard for me to say because I try to live life with no regrets. I would have to say
there's a difference between never ever doing it again and regretting it. I don't regret any time and effort that I've given to people, but I've also learned from those experiences on things that I would never repeat. There's no regret, but I'm not repeating it.
Okay, I take that back then. I don't live life with regrets. So, moving on from that, I would never, ever lower my boundaries for other people ever again. And I know that goes along with being a people pleaser and trying to keep the peace. I've gotten to a point in my life where I pretty much feel as if that's not important to me anymore. So, yeah, I will never, ever lower my boundaries for people. Am I able to compromise? Of course, but it has to be an equal compromise. Not me totally putting myself down to lift someone else up. Lesson learned, won't do it no more.
I like that. I think that's so important, especially the older we get, because self-work is happening constantly and self-love is being redeveloped constantly. We should expect these things to change and we should expect us to say, this is the things we're never going to ever going to do again because we're good. We're in our 30s now. That shit happened. That shit flew by in our 20s and our teens. But it's okay for us to change. It's okay for us to take a new accountability of ourselves. I like that. An inventory of our lives too. That's so important, listeners, so important.
I agree. I definitely agree with that. Something I have to remind myself of constantly.
Question, what is your biggest fear and how do you cope with it?
God damn it, I hate this question.
Why? Gosh. Boogeyman coming out?
Oh my gosh, yes. My biggest fear, honestly, is dying. I've had that fear since I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. I remember being afraid to go to sleep because I heard people could die in their sleep and it scared the shit out of me. And I used to battle with that so often as a kid. As I got older, learned more about transitions and learned more about life, it still fucks with my head. I'm sorry. I cannot. The thought of...
She was going somewhere.
Right, I was going somewhere cute, but not no more.
You went, you turned.
But it's the truth, though. And that's where most of my anxiety stems from, because I start thinking, what is the world going to be like if I'm not here? What is so-and-so supposed to do if I'm no longer around? I have those thoughts less often now because of the work I'm doing on myself, but that's still a big fear of mine. And spiders. That's my second biggest fear.
Spiders. You had nothing on that. You were the last thought, spiders. You should feel some type of way.
Oh, gosh. What is yours?
Yeah, I don't fear dying. That's interesting that you have that perspective. And I can't wait to talk about that in one of our future episodes. So listeners, stay tuned. We will be talking about this. But I think one of my biggest fears is living a life that others want me to live. I don't want to live how others see me or how they deem me to live. And I've had this issue in my life, an ongoing issue, where people tend to try to please their wants, their desires that they deem best for me. And I'm sure other people also experience this, but I am so against that. That's my biggest fears, is being complacent in somebody else's desires of me. I'm not okay with that. I will make my choices in life. I will do the things that I need to do to help myself experience a true life. So that's definitely a fear. And I get a little antsy when people around me try to tell me what to do. Like, don't tell me how to live my life. The best thing that you can do for me is support me. That's it. Everything else I got. I'm not a baby. I got this.
I appreciate you bringing that up. I believe that's a fear that so many people have, but they don't address it. They don't think on it. They don't even speak on it. It happens too often that people try to make us be something that we're truly not, and we're scared to speak up against it because of whatever reasons. Everybody has their reason.
Yes.
But I think we need to be more real with ourselves about that, especially if that's a fear.
Yes. Yes, it is a fear, because we only have one life and there is no reset button. So for me, it's a constant asking of, are you doing this for other people or are you doing this for yourself? Do you generally want to do this, or do you want the celebration for yourself? Like, why is it that you're wanting this? And I don't think people ask themselves this enough, and we need to.
So listeners, I encourage you to take Jay's advice and live your life. Don't be afraid to put it in simple terms, don't be afraid to do what you want to do. Don't worry about the next person. You do what's best.
Yes, even if it's the scariest thing that you have ever come across, still do it. Do it. Do it. You don't know how to get started? Figure it out. You don't know how to figure it out? Ask Google.
Have you or someone you know seen your doppelganger?
Oh no, that's scary. From what I hear, is if you see your doppelganger, that's not good. That's a bad omen. So no, thank you. No, thank you. Skip.
Wait, how is it a bad omen?
It's supposed to symbolize that your death is coming, and that's a bad omen. So no, thank you. Skip, pass it on, double it, take it to the next person.
I've never heard that before.
Wait, so you would be okay with seeing your doppelganger?
I okay, now I won't, because you told me that, but at first I didn't care.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus.
Now, here's the funny thing. I have never seen my lookalike. We all have a lookalike in this world, and I do believe under certain circumstances, we will see them. I've been told multiple times throughout my 31 years of living by random people that I look like so-and-so, or I have a friend that looked like you. A few years back, maybe 6-7 years back, I was at the gym and this man kept staring at me, and I didn't know why. I figured maybe I look cute today. I caught his eye. That's what I'm thinking. He approaches me and says, I know you see me staring at you, and I promise I'm not trying to be weird or creepy, but you look just like my daughter that lives in Texas. I kept looking at you thinking to myself, when the hell did she get here from Texas and didn't tell me? And I laughed it off. And then he showed me a picture of his daughter, and her and I did favor in the picture he showed me. So I've had moments like that with many different people, but I've never seen a person myself that looks like me.
Oh, that's spooky. You should get a cleanse. You should get an years egg ago, cleanse.
I'm still here.
Girl, you should still do a neck cleanse just in case.
Oh, that is too funny.
Yeah, no, I'm good. Skip, double it, give it to someone else. Thank you. Or my child too. I'm good. I'm good. All that. Thank you very much. I don't want to experience that in my life. I want to be in the belief that God creates us very uniquely, individually.
And he do. It's just sometimes he copy and paste our face.
Right. Right. Because then there's this idea, right, that conspiracists have, that there's only a certain amount of prototypes of human being. Then it opens up this whole can of worms. I'm good. I'm uniquely made by God himself.
But then that raises the question of people who look exactly like certain celebrities. That can be considered their doppelganger, I don't think they walking around thinking I'm going to die soon because I look like Taraji P. Henson or I look like Beyonce. I don't think they go.
No, it's not about looking alike. It's seeing each other. That's the bad omen part. You can look alike.
Oh, you got to see each other. Okay.
Yes, you have to see each other.
Got you.
Now, these celebrities and these celebrity lookalikes, yeah, you're talking about Chanel versus a perfume you get at Walmart. Like, yeah, prototypes also have different generations.
Okay, perfect example. Makes sense now, kind of. But I don't think I would feel weird if I were to cross paths with somebody who asked my face. I may say, "Ooh, girl, you cute. I like your hair." And that's about it.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to even think about it. If I came across somebody that looked like me to the degree where I'm looking at them like, "Bitch, you stole my face." You know what? I didn't see shit.
Okay, well, here's my question to that too as well. Does that mean that you're the one that has the omen on you, or your doppelganger has the omen on them, or you have it on each other?
I have no idea. That's why I don't know much about it, because I read that and I'm just like, you know what? Some things are better left unresearched. And I think that's one of those for me. Doppelgangers are a spooky thing for me. But you should look into it. Tell us. Let us know.
Girl, the way my mind is set up, let one of the listeners look into it and let us know. I'll be in this house scared to leave.
Exactly. So, no. Anyways, I'm going to get deep. So are you ready to get deep since it's our last question?
Come on, let's dig into it.
All right. Is there such a thing as a soul?
Yes.
Okay. Do animals have souls?
Yes.
Do insects have souls?
Tiny ones, but yes.
Okay. So what is a soul?
I was trying to think of my answer before you asked me that. Now I'm stuck. What is a soul? A soul would be... What is a soul? Damn, now I'm fucked up. I guess a soul would be not exactly a ghost or a spirit, but it's the inner you. It's the part of you that helps you make decisions, that help you move through your path. It's the mind and the body meeting together. It's... Yeah, I would say it's your core. It's the inner person that you actually are.
Yeah, I think that animals and insects have souls. I think there's a soul in tree. I think the wind has a soul and the sun has a soul. I think that a soul is the essence of something, because it's not always people, but the essence of something. And I think whenever we as organic beings give life to objects that don't have souls, they spark differently. I came across a story that was talking about a woman who had a janky car and the daughter who saw this experience. And she said something along the lines of, "I know that that car had essence of my mom, because that car never left us stranded. And my mom would talk to it with so much love and so much care that that's why it never left us stranded." So I think in that aspect, that mom shared part of her soul with the car, and the car was receptive to not breaking down. But I do believe that there's a soul in people and things in the world.
That's a very interesting. So hearing that story, it makes me think of energies and the spirits of things clinging on to inanimate objects. So I don't think inanimate objects can have souls, but I definitely think that our energy can linger on it. So it sounds like to me, her mom's energy is what kept our car running. Her mom's spirit may have been somewhere within that car to keep them from getting stranded. Also, you have to remember too, some people have bad souls and bad energies, and that's why you don't take everything from people either, or you don't let people take your pictures. I've been told that a lot as well. Just something to think about.
I agree. There's always good and bad though. I also think that when you have something negative, such as those possessed dolls, does that mean that there's a soul in there too? Or is it just a bunch of negative energy?
Negative energy and spirit.
Isn't spirit a soul?
That's the part I'm not sure about. I want to say yes, but at the same time, I want to say no, because the soul is deeper than the spirit. I think the soul is, like you mentioned, the essence. It's a pile up of everything within you that makes you the person that you truly are, the person you truly are deep within. A spirit is the ghost leaving your body when you pass away, unfortunately. So it's hard to make the connection with the two for me.
Okay, so what about trees? Do trees have souls?
Trees do not have souls. However, I do believe that...
Why don't trees have souls?
I just don't see a tree having a soul. I don't know. I never thought of it.
I'm so offended on behalf of trees right now. I think trees have souls. If trees have their own communication language and whole socio-political dynamic that we don't know anything about, why wouldn't they have souls? Why wouldn't they have their own opinion about things? If souls are essence of you, who you are in characteristics and personalities, trees have characteristics and personalities. That's why they're not all the same.
Yeah, I will have to dig deeper into this on my free time. As of right now, I cannot see trees having souls, but I do believe that spirits live within trees.
Oh, and I'm going to go tell the trees on you, girl. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to gossip.
It's just the way my mind is working and from what I've learned throughout my years of living. So it makes me think of Pocahontas. Her grandmother's spirit was living through a tree. She would talk to a tree and her grandmother's face would pop up and she would answer. So that's why I say spirits, energy, but no soul.
And once again, we go back to the question of what is the difference between a spirit and a soul? If a spirit is the one that leaves you when you are passed away, then what about when you're sleeping? Is that your soul leaving you and having these experiences in other dimensions when you're dreaming? So very interesting. But for those that really want an actual answer, it depends on your perspective. It's religious, spiritual beliefs. It's philosophical perspectives. It's your psychological interpretation of what a soul is. So you do as you do with that information. But I do think it's a very interesting conversation.
Well, I will say this. If our souls leave our bodies while we're sleeping to go to other dimensions, then my soul should have took Jack Harlow somewhere else and not met up with him in a scary dungeon.
Oh, that's something you're going to have to take up with your soul, girl.
Oh, this was fun. I think we asked some really good questions today. Some fun, some deep, some just picking at our brains. It was cool.
Yeah, definitely. Listeners, you're going to have to let us know what are some of your answers, because now we're interested in knowing what you're thinking about things as well. So as always, don't forget to like, subscribe, follow us on Instagram, follow us on TikTok, leave us reviews.
We appreciate all the love and support. As always, move in love, keep listening, and we'll see y'all next time. Bye.
This episode is being brought to you by Soul Tribe Publishing House.